Hey guys, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and the one thing every single one of you should do is look the absolute best for your significant other. That means yes, even including your face. So there's this new skincare line for men called Tease Hanley. Let me tell you what, guys, it's absolutely amazing. I wear a lot of hats, and in return, it dries my forehead out. I used to put a lot of this girly lotion that my wife keeps around the house on. I had to apply it 3, 4, 5 times a day sometimes. Now I don't need to worry about that. Even after the little time that I've been using it, she says she can notice the difference in my face, the way it looks and feels. Can't go wrong there, right? So this is what I want you to do. Now I use the level 3 skincare system, but if you don't know where to start, go to the level 1 and this will give you all the basics you need. A face wash, exfoliating scrub, and AM and PM moisturizers. So this is what you should do now. Go click on the link in the show notes and grab the insane discount that they've set up for all of our DFS Army listeners. Now enjoy the show.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS Pro.
This is your DFS Army Bold Calls NBA DFS podcast for February 1st of 2019. And I am your host today, the one, the only Boomer's Daddy. Joining me is my friend, my partner in crime, the one that we call Bear. What's up, brother?
What's up, Boomer's Daddy?
Oh, you know, just another day in paradise.
That's for sure.
Staying positive. Last night was a debacle. It's not that I fell into a trap, because I don't think that they were a trap at all. But with that said, I ended up locking in Jalen Brunson on both sites. I don't do that very often, but he was cheap enough, gonna get the minutes. I felt pretty confident about it, considering it was the
Detroit.
And I completely faded Reggie Jackson. So that's twice now I've faded this guy when I normally don't just fade just to fade. But that's twice now that I've faded this guy, the same guy, and it's bit me. So now I'm all in on the fade train. And I'm... If he keeps killing me, he keeps killing me.
Yeah.
So, it's just one of those things. Let's see.
Yeah.
What else screwed everybody last night that we're not thinking of? Pulling it up here. Oh, Dwight Powell was a bust. Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry.
Just so everybody knows, what I'm kind of doing right now is, you know, we give ourselves a lot of credit and we take a lot of, we like say, oh, this was an amazing call. You know, we absolutely crushed this call, or, you know, all of this stuff. But like, understand that in our chat rooms, if you're not a VIP member, first off, congratulations, you are today because it's Freebie Friday. But if you're not a VIP member, understand in our chat rooms, like, our guys hold us accountable, which isn't a bad thing as long as they do it in the correct manner. But we don't really do that a lot. We touch on a play here or there, but we don't do that a lot on this show because we have so much to get to in a limited amount of time. But like last night, I love Kyle Lowry. He was part of – now, I didn't put out a individual play sheet for our members yesterday, but I did have him as basically my core on DraftKings. He was in 65% of my lineups, and he finished – like, Jalen Brunson outscored him.
About like 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, well, it was only 2 on DraftKings, but it was still outscored.
Like 18 to 14 or something. Yeah, it was bad. And it wasn't even that, like, it wasn't even like he wasn't on the court. He played a ton. He just, I've never seen so many missed shots. I mean, it was miss after miss after miss after miss after miss. And he was getting wide open looks, and he kept on shooting and just wouldn't fall. And then who went down? Somebody who got hurt for them?
For the Raptors?
Yeah, somebody in the mid game went out, and Danny Green.
Danny Green.
And Danny Green went out, and then Van Vliet came in to replace him, and then the ball is in Van Vliet's hands when they were both on the court together. And Lowry becomes the two guard basically, and his shots weren't falling. So no bueno.
Yeah, I mean it was I didn't watch a lot of that game. I caught a lot of the Warriors game, but I did not watch a lot of that game. It's one of those things that you know, with family and stuff, I have to go back and watch a lot of these earlier games, like the next day or later on that night. So that was one of the things, like, I didn't realize had happened at the time that it was happening.
Yeah.
The other thing that kind of bit me was I had, I think it was 56% Klay Thompson on FanDuel. And wow. That one caught me by surprise. No, nothing of an illness, nothing anywhere. And it was one of the things that kind of really, really, really upset me, because like I still broke even on FanDuel, and if I would have had Klay, it could have been nice. It could have been really nice.
Yeah.
So let's see here. What else? Oh, JJ Redick was doing phenomenal in the first quarter, and then he picked up a couple stupid fouls.
Yep.
And he ended up sitting for a while, and then kind of got out of rhythm.
Yep.
The main one was Kyle Lowry, though. When Klay went out, I replaced him with a lot of Lou Williams, but in some of it, I ended up getting I ended up putting in some Andre Iguodala, some JJ Redick. Those didn't work out quite like I thought they would. You know, where I could maneuver and get up to Lou, I did. Serge Ibaka and Pascal Siakam went bananas like we said they would. They could have had more along with Giannis, but foul troubles hurt them. Patrick Beverley continued his tear. So Kawhi was a letdown.
Big time. He was the one that hurt me the most. Considering that Harrison Barnes, you know, damn near doubled him up at half the price.
Yeah.
And my main small forwards were Giannis and Kawhi. I had a decent amount of Giannis and Harrison too, which is good. That worked out nicely, but it was painful. I expected Brunson to either put up a 35 or be my drop. So I was, you know, I was okay with that. No, Greek was not a letdown. Greek put up like 60.
On DraftKings, he put up 49.5.
How was it such a big discrepancy?
Blocks?
Jesus.
Blocks and steals? They're inflated over there, over on FanDuel, remember?
Big time.
Yeah, I think a block is... Well, yeah, so Greek put up...
Two. He put two up versus 50, three.
53 or 54.3 on FanDuel. So it was like a 5-point difference. He did have, you know, 4 steals and 2 blocks, though. So that's where your difference is coming from. Because you're not getting it on the 3-point shots because he only made 1.
That's a massive difference.
Yeah. So, you know, for his price, he was a little bit of a letdown on DraftKings.
On DraftKings.
You know, not he did what he was supposed to do on FanDuel. That goes along with Joel Embiid. Now, on DraftKings, Joel Embiid put up a 60. So, but you know, where we're going off about the calls that we did miss, let's hit on two of them that, you know, I don't think that you liked so much when we talked about on the pod. They ended up working out, and that's Derek White and Terrence Ross.
No, Derek White, I wasn't against. Derek White, I like. Oh, okay. Derek White was in my.
I thought you were.
He was in my core plays too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite. I played him a lot yesterday. So.
Now another mistake I did make was when Jonathan Simmons was ruled out. I didn't play Jonathan Isaac a ton. That was stupid on my part.
Oh my guy.
And I had zero Miles Turner. I don't like the way that the Pacers offense looks right now. And I really didn't like the way that, you know, when they put Corey Joseph in that starting lineup, I thought it was going to be even worse. But I let all that kind of get to me, and I didn't go with two guys that I know that don't rely so much on scoring to put up points, and Miles Turner and Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah.
So that was my mistake there. So top values of the night, though, DJ Wilson, who we've talked about before on the pod for the Bucks. I did not see that happening.
Well, so I watched that game, but that was Giannis's foul trouble.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of that was kind of contributed to foul trouble.
Yeah.
Johan Bolden for Philly.
What did you call him?
I call him Johan. I know it's Jonah, but I call him Johan. Sorry.
He's such a biblical boy.
You know, I didn't see that coming against the Warriors. That was really nice. We went over Reggie Jackson. Lance Stephenson got 30 minutes last night with LeBron coming back. Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
Well, so, I mean, I could provide a little bit of insight there. You know, Kuzma came back, and Kuzma was like, he basically after the first few minutes of the third quarter, he didn't see the court. So a lot of that was limited, and it wasn't because he was playing poorly. Like, he was hitting his shots. A couple things. Number one, they were certainly being cautious with Kuzma because just a few trade rumors swirling around. And, you know, he's not 100%, so they wanted to make sure they're not going to screw themselves there. Second thing, with LeBron back, Lance is a vet, and he was hitting shots. And, you know, Luka's at the point where, like, you notice Tyson Chandler and JaVale McGee played significantly more than Zubac did.
Yeah, they're protecting their assets.
They're protecting their assets, and they're also making sure that in tight, winnable ball games, the veterans are seeing the floor,
right?
Which is what they're supposed to do.
Right.
I mean, you know, the young guys, they're still playing. They're getting out there. They're getting you know, reps. They're playing on the NBA court. They're getting their experience in. But when it's time to win ball games, you play the big boys, and that's essentially what happened.
Are you telling me that Ivica Zubac is not a big boy?
Size wise, but not experience wise. He's young. He's like 20. It's crazy.
So it's Oh man. Put this beat. We're gonna have to touch on this.
All right.
When we get to the center position, we're definitely going to be touching on this because somebody's going to be coming out like a man on a mission.
Why is Orlando playing? Oh,
you see it now? Oh, man. All right. So we got five games today. Want to pay the bills a little bit. Guys, you'll notice a new podcast sponsor for today. It's Tiege Hanley. It's basically skincare for men. I've been using it now for a couple of days, and normally what ends up happening in the winter, because I wear a lot of hats, is my forehead gets really, 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 really dry. It does not happen anymore now that I've used this, and I don't have to keep applying girly lotion that my wife keeps around the house. So it works out. They've got three different levels, and it's a lot of cool stuff. We posted the link in our chat rooms through the Army. We've posted the link here. If you guys just want to go click on that, 20% off will get you, if you use the Pro NBA Talks, we'll get you 20% off your first box, and there's three different levels that you can do. Guys, your ladies want you to look good for them for Valentine's Day. Okay? I'm just going to throw that out there. The second thing, Freebie Friday, Bear.
I know.
So you get all of our picks. You get our NBA DFS Army Research Stations, which has the and-one formula in it. You get all of our sim models for the NBA for both DraftKings and FanDuel that simulate each game based on the minutes up to 5,000 times and produces outcomes. It also produces probabilities of a person to hit 3, 4, 5, 6, 7X and their fantasy points. So it's really cool stuff. We give all that away for free on Fridays. Just make sure when you do sign up, unlike last week, a couple of you, I know for sure did not use this. But when you do sign up, use the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That way you can get your 20% off your first month and enjoy this every single day. So, sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Perfect. Got five.
Get your skin right, boys. Get your skin right.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, man.
Yes, it is.
The wifeys want us to look good. And just if your skin doesn't look good, then sometimes you don't look like a man. Or something like that. So, all right, we got five games today. Let's start at the point guard position. It's not really deep. It's not really sexy. There are a couple sexy matchups. But it's pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing we are going to have to watch out for is, and hopefully.
Your team's in the news.
Yeah, I just saw that. We're trading away TLC cash. That luxury tax dollar, man. Clearing the way for the Bulls to waive or trade Carmelo Anthony immediately.
He gone.
Yeah, he gone. So, anyways, one piece of news that we do have to watch out for on the point guard front is Chris Paul. He is questionable. I would say it's probably leaning more towards doubtful if I had to guess at this moment. We probably will not know before lock. I am hoping that we read this situation right and we don't know before lock so we can have an advantage here, but it is something that we do need to take into consideration anyways. Even if Chris Paul plays and he's announced active, I do not like him. I am not playing him. That leaves a very, very, very short point guard list for me.
Okay.
I have, without Chris Paul, I have 7 guys I'm even remotely interested in at this moment. If news hits and changes, then it hits and changes. But that's all I'm interested in. Okay. And normally I have like, at this point in the day, normally I have like 10, 15.
We don't have that many.
Yeah, we don't have that many. Now, it does help that it is a shorter 5-game slate. But with that said, like, there should be at least, like, 10 guys you can talk about or you could talk about, and there's not. Let's start out at the beginning. Russell Westbrook, he's 11-6. I don't know what to do here. I'm trying to push my fandom to the side a little bit and say, you know what? Russ is matchup proof, which he is. Like, there's nobody on the Heat that are going to be able to stop him. What I'm worried about is the pace of the game, the style of the game that's going to happen. And I don't know if he's worth the price today on FanDuel. Because of that. Like,
so he's going to see basically one of the more premier athletic wings who's now playing point guard for the Heat in Justice Winslow. Young, athletic, strong, lengthy. I mean, I gotta be honest, man. I don't like it. I don't like the Thunder at all. I do like one Thunder in particular, which we'll talk about. Jeremy Grant, actually like here. But besides that, like, it's going to be a tough matchup for these guys, man. The Heat, it's funny because, you know, you look at the Heat, you look at their record, you look at their games. They're not like, oh, my God, unstoppable. And a lot of that is because they're not super talented on the offensive side. But their defensive schemes makes it really difficult to roster scoring-dependent folks, particularly guards. Not just scoring dependent, really any guards against them. It makes it very difficult to do, and because you're having a hard time getting the ceiling from those guys. And most of their games are close. You know, there's a few blowouts. It's the NBA. Best teams get blown out. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to do, man, and. You know, like Doug Tony here saying in our chat here, like, you know, the Bulls beat the crap out of them. You know, that game was ugly, and it's just bad. It's just bad. Or they didn't beat the crap out of them, but they were beating the crap out of them. They ended up coming back, I think.
It was 108-89, I thought.
Like they came back, but they were down by a lot at one point in that game. Like, they were getting embarrassed by the Bulls.
Well, I would say a loss to the Bulls at 105-89 is pretty embarrassing.
It is. Definitely.
So, yeah, that's the other thing that I didn't think of with this trade that Pressy's pulling off is it opens up a roster spot for who? Terrence Ross, maybe?
Oh, you won't let that go, are you?
Huh?
You're not going to let that go, are you?
Dude, I want Terrence Ross so bad. Like, I want him as bad as I wanted KCP a couple years ago or Avery Bradley last year.
Yeah.
Like, I love the progress that Terrence Ferguson has made. And I don't think that we're going to be a completely full team. Until Robertson gets back and it shores up that perimeter defense a little bit more. But I don't think he's going to be healthy until the end of the season anyways. At least 100% back into the flow. It's going to take him a little bit of time. But like, to have a knockdown shooter like Terrence Ross, whew, I understand it's a rental, but whew, that would be nice.
Yeah, but... You know, back here to reality.
And he's not making that much money. It wouldn't take a lot.
He will be.
Yeah, but like, he's a rental for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Like, he's not somebody that I think that we would end up trying to sign in free agency. He's a rental for the rest of this. Try to put us over the edge to get more scoring and stuff like that. And then he's going to walk. I mean, I'm not talking about giving up like Jeremy Grant, a first rounder for him. But Patty Pat in a second rounder, I can do that.
I don't. So a couple things about point guards today.
sorry,
it's okay. So Kyrie's coming back, and I know he's really pricey, particularly on FanDuel where he's 10-5, which is a lot. He's also kind of pricey on Yahoo. I don't think I care.
I don't think I do either.
Yeah, I mean coming off of, you know, what is it, two games that he didn't play. Like, he wants to play in New York. Chicago is waving Carmelo Anthony, to be expected. He wants to show up in New York. This is Madison Square Garden. Like, Kyrie loves this. This is the spotlight he loves. He's going to take all the shots, and he's going to light up this Knicks team who can't defend and who are basically short on bodies right now. After the trade, they've got some guys coming in who aren't, you know, usually when you get traded, the next day, depending on what time of day, but the next day you take your physicals, you got to pass your physicals, and then once you pass your physicals, have a practice, shoot around, whatever, and then you're able to play. So the new guys for the Knicks aren't playing yet. Dennis Smith Jr. is not playing. Wesley Matthews is not playing. DeAndre Jordan is not playing. Will they play at all? Who knows? But let's see. So,
and even if they do play, I don't foresee them playing significant minutes anyways.
Well, it's already been announced that they're not making their debut today.
So, oh, okay.
Will that change? I don't know. But as of right now, they said no. Wade probable. Adams.
And T-Ferg questionable.
That's not new. We might have some more chalk. But we'll see. So, at some point here, we have to just kind of roster Kyrie and move on. Now, the big thing here is, obviously, Chris Paul is a big deal, not because we want to play Chris Paul, but because what that does for Harden, which we'll cover here in a minute. But there's two guys that are being discussed right now on being traded for each other. And the first one, and that is Rubio and Conley. So I'm very, and both are questionable.
What?
Not a surprise.
I missed that one.
You must have.
Yeah, I missed that one altogether.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
I like the deal for Utah, I think. I don't know if I like it for Memphis.
Straight for Utah. Straight for Utah.
So anyways, okay, so we're going to have to watch out that. That game is actually the first game of the night, so we'll at least know going into lock if that's going to go down tonight or not. If you start to hear a little bit more chatter, and we'll keep everybody kind of known so, about
but what but what it this is, means but, though for DFS. Let's say they're out. Like Shelvin Mack, massive bump.
Oh yeah,
I know they also have Javon, whatever his name is,
Javon Carter,
who's been the backup, but those guys are both probably going to split minutes, and I prefer Mac because he can actually score, and Kemba can't play defense. So, so you've got that, and then it also means we basically, if Chris Paul and Ruby are out, you've got your two shooting guards locked. I don't want to hear about any other ones. I mean, it's Harden and Mitchell. Like, move on. If their point guards are missing, they become the point guards. So, but we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more of a question on FanDuel just because there's not a lot of intriguing drop score options today. And I do like Kyle Korver because he's min price going up against Atlanta.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, definitely those two would be the top options on your core as I give Under Armour some free advertising. I do agree with you on a lot of that. If Rubio is okay, so here's a situation for you. Okay, so if Rubio's out, that obviously catapults Donovan Mitchell into basically the point guard role, which I don't know how much more I like without, you know, another ball handler there, because one of the reasons why Mitchell's been so good is because he's able to not only run the point, but he's able to work off the ball as well. And those end up going down, or the him working off the ball ends up obviously going way down. So it's a little bit more responsibility. I know what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to explain it. So I'll try to think of better words later on for our people in chat. But if that does end up coming to more to fruition, and we'll know more about it from the Mike Conley side because his game is earlier on what we're going to do, does that bring some interest into Trae Young a little bit more for the Hawks?
Potentially. I don't hate it. He's been on a tear. I love the way he's been playing. I'm certainly intrigued by it. I know you talk about a guy who's going to be untouched tonight. I mean, for five games, considering all the value we're about to get here at point guard, I mean, that's for tournaments. I think I love that.
Yeah, it's he's one of the only Hawks I can really trust on a consistent basis, because obviously they've got the most invested in him, and he's probably the one guy that they're not gonna trade if they do end up making any moves. But 31 minutes, he's pricey. I'm not gonna deny that he's pricey on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, he's only 7K compared to the 73, and you get the 3-point bonus, which he can end up doing. It's more feasible over there. So, all right, let's talk about Kadeem Allen.
Okay. You start.
Well, how to put this lightly. He's got something to prove. And he understands that this might be his last shot. And especially with all the guards coming in this trade, he's fighting for a roster spot. Because, and playing time. He's 3,500 on FanDuel. He is 3,300 on DraftKings. He's going to be in a lot of my lineups tonight. I will not be pairing him and Kyle Korver together because you need to. There's enough out there to where you don't have to take two min-price guys, and there's not a ton of studs to where you have to pay for them. Now, I guess if you wanted to go that route and you wanted to play Russell and Harden, then you could do so. But I just don't like the idea of having a Nick compete for a drop score, because I don't know which Nick is going to be. I mean, it could be Alonzo Trier tonight. It could be Damian Dotson. We still don't know the status of Luke Kornet. I love the idea of a guy that has something to prove being min price, but the problem with it is with everything that is going on, it's really, really, really hard to kind of think about not having him in a significant amount of my lineups tonight at this price.
Yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, you're talking about, like you said, a minimum price guy who's got a ton to prove, who's going to play a ton of minutes right now. Probably against Kyrie Irving, who's going to want to really get up and down the court. So you're going to see a fast-paced game. You're going to see a lot of points being scored. You're going to see a lot of defense on other parts of the court, just not where he's playing. So, I mean, I like it.
So, just to give you an idea of exactly... Now, the one thing I am a little bit worried about is the foul trouble. Like, he had 4 fouls in 17 minutes.
Yeah.
But he was all over the place, man. Like, he came in for Trey Burke and just completely out-hustled him.
He took over, yeah.
Yeah. He only had 6 points, but in that 17 minutes, he had 6 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, only took 2 shot attempts, but he also had four free throw attempts, and four personal fouls. So,
yeah,
kind of does a little bit of everything. I like this. Like, he's not going to be a secret. So don't think that he will. We saved $7.3 million and created a $1.5 million trade exception. Sorry. Wow. And we have a $10.8 million. Oh, my God. Presti, you better get to work, brother. So, yeah, Kadeem Allen, right now, he's the best value on the slate at the point guard position. He might be the best value on the slate right now, period.
He's also going to be hands down the highest owned guy across the industry.
Yes.
Which is fine, but just letting you know.
Yeah, if you're playing cash games, just go ahead and lock him in.
Yeah.
So.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Shooting guards. So, obviously, we have to wait, but for Chris Paul, but I don't know if I care. Like, I'm playing Harden today. I think we'll have enough value where you can just lock him in and move on. I'm talking, you know, cash games. I'm talking tournaments. I mean, there's nobody on the slate, given the matchup, given his abilities, that has the same ceiling as Harden does today. So, I mean, I don't. Let's not mess around. Let's play Harden and find your value elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, for me, I've gotten a lot more aggressive as, you know, because I felt like I, in order to have the edge this season over every other season in the past, I've kind of had to get more aggressive. You know, instead of like backing my plays and being like, okay, I like this guy 70%. If I love a guy and I think that there's an advantage, I'm going to lock him in. It is one thing I learned from Kevin. You know, he said, don't play timid. Is one thing you talked me into it on a lot of occasions as well. I don't care if we know or not. And this is what I said about having the advantage. And hopefully we read it right. I'm locking in Harden tonight. Like, especially, and there's twofold to this. If everything goes exactly according to plan, we're going to get Chris Paul out. We're going to have Harden locked into 100% of our lineups. And we're going to get Gary Harris out.
The problem with Gary Harris being out is it opens up. I mean, he'll probably play more anyways. But it's going to be pretty sweet. Because if he's out, then you can go Barton. And you don't feel like crap for not playing Monty Morris.
Well, I was just talking about from the defensive side. Because the more minutes that Gary Harris plays, and I'm not saying that, you know, he can completely shut down Harden. That's not what I'm saying. He is not Kawhi Leonard, okay? But he's still a very, very good perimeter defender, and that maybe 3 or 4 points, maybe 5, limits his upside a little bit when you want as much of that ceiling as physically possible. You want him to have the ability to go for 99.
Yeah.
You know, which I would say, and you would probably back me up, I don't see the Rockets blowing out the Nuggets tonight. So we're going to get four quarters. And if Paul is out, then we're going to get four quarters of point guard James Harden. And we're going to get close to 40 minutes probably, maybe more, especially if the game is close. Now, the one thing I did just think of is, are you concerned at all that if we get like 40 plus minutes of James Harden, that his legs are shot in the fourth quarter?
No.
Okay. Okay. It was just a question.
Yeah.
So I'm locking in James Harden. We already talked about Donovan Mitchell. If Rubio ends up being out, then you can lock in the two of them. Let's talk about Monty Morris. I think my interest squarely relies on Gary Harris being in or out. Would you agree?
No.
No?
No.
Ooh, okay. Explain.
To me, it hinges on Jamal Murray. Like, Jamal Murray sits in the bunker. Right. That's what I'm saying. So that's what it is for me. Like, Jamal's out. That's really what counts for me. So I mean, they're going to need as many wing players to match up with Houston as they can handle. You know, Jokic already is going to dominate this game. We know that. There's two. So Harris being out will certainly give him a bump, yes, but he's playing 35 minutes no matter what. He's okay. Facilitating. He's scoring. He's the point guard. He's an actual point guard, unlike Jamal.
No, Murray. We've said that all season long, and I agree with you 100% on that one.
Yeah. So to me, sure the bump is there without Gary, but it doesn't. I'm still playing him.
Here's where I'm coming from on that, and then you can tell me how off base I am on this. Okay. Gary Harris is a very, very good ball handler. Will Barton is, contrary to some of the people in chat from the other night when Gary Harris or Will Barton like sucked, he's a very good ball handler. Like Nikola Jokic can run the offense through him, as we saw two nights ago.
Yeah.
The problem I have is that if Monty Morris isn't handling the ball more, like if Gary Harris is out, he's going to handle the ball more. True?
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't happen, then I feel like with the ownership that he could see after absolutely exploding the other night, you might have some leverage there on the fade if Gary Harris is in.
Sure.
If his ownership is still going to be up there. Now, it's all going to be based on what we think is going to happen, and we're going to have to watch throughout the day. But like, that's where I'm kind of coming from, is more of a game theory standpoint. Can he still be a good play? Yes.
Understood.
But do I think that he has the 40-point upside like he did the other night with Gary Harris out?
Well, Gary Harris played.
Well, Gary, he was also he limited. Played.
Right.
So that's, but that's he was in. So that was I my think thinking behind that.
We have to see. We have to see if you know, so not if, but who's playing there and who's not. That's what it's going to boil down to.
Does it just feel like we're waiting on a lot of stuff to kind of dictate where the slate's going to go today?
Yeah, that's exactly what we do.
Oh, man. Harden came down 500 on DK. Yeah, you just lock him in, guys. I don't care what site it's on. It could be on mom and pop site that isn't even backed by anything, and you're going to lock him in.
I have to agree with you on that one.
Any interest in Alonzo Trier?
I knew we were going to talk about them.
Well, and this is like, and the reason I bring him up is because on, like, he's only a $500 difference on FanDuel, and I think that's where my pivot would be. Now, on DK, it's a little bit tougher because Alonzo Trier is actually more expensive than Monty Morris. Alonzo Trier is $5,400 on DK.
Yeah, I understand.
So it's a lot harder to do it over there, but I like the pivot, you know, barring the Gary Harris news on FanDuel. But I don't feel safe about it at all, by the way.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to. It's just not gonna, it's not safe, and I don't know. I mean, for me, it's That entire team. I mean, he's cheap, yes, but that entire team is difficult for me to trust. I mean, looks, bottom line is someone's going to have to play, right? We know that. Just don't know who, where, what. I just don't know. So we'll have to wait and find out, but it's going to be tough.
Is it safe to say that we felt a lot more confident in the Dallas situation last night than we do in the Knicks today?
Well, you can't compare those two players, right?
Not
players, coaches.
Well, yeah, exactly. But like, we also think that the players that the Mavericks were throwing in last night they're a lot better, like talent wise, yeah. Too.
No question, no comparison, for sure.
I wouldn't be surprised though, and this is just because of the way the DFS works. I wouldn't be surprised if all of these Nick guards outscore all the value from the Mavericks last night.
I can see it. I certainly can.
Especially considering the fact that especially considering the fact that, you know, this is going against Boston. And guys, we don't talk about playing guards against the Celtics often. But when they're cheap and they're going to get minutes, I mean, you have to at least look at them.
Yeah. Hard to disagree there.
So, man, I don't know. A Dwayne Wade resurgence tonight after being named a special All-Star team All-Star game participant.
I'm not sold.
Yeah, I'm not either. He's probable to play. Probably not going with a bunch of these other guards. Malik Beasley is a little bit interesting if Gary Harris is out. You know, he could be a direct pivot also as well for ownership on Monty Morris, just because I think that everybody kind of flocks there. The guard situation in Atlanta, I have no idea what to make of at the moment, but, you know, it's there.
It's nuts.
So Kevin Herter's playing a lot of minutes, but he's not getting a lot of usage. So the shots are kind of weird. Let's move on to small forward, shall we? Any interest in Paul George going up against Justice Winslow? He's on another one of those tears.
He's not going up against Justice Winslow.
Josh Richardson. Rich.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This price is kind of brutal right now.
It's well deserving, but it's brutal.
It's brutal. Yeah, it's not. It's this sucks. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. This sucks. So, like, I want to play him, but I'm not paying, like, probably not. Not in this matchup. Like, I mean, he can certainly put up numbers. We know that. But I don't know that you're going to get a 65 from him in this game, which, you know, is what you need to win tournaments. So
if I gave you the way they're currently playing as of this moment, Paul George or Joel Embiid?
Tonight specifically, I'm not playing tonight.
Not tonight specifically.
Depends on the matchups, man.
Okay. I was trying to go somewhere with this. Just to let everybody know, last night Joel Embiid was 11-6 on FanDuel. Giannis was 11-5. Paul George is 11-4. So that's the type of level that he's playing at. He's playing at an MVP-type level. And if it wasn't for what Giannis and Harden are doing, he would be getting a lot more conversation about it. Like you said, I don't think I can do it on FanDuel. Now, on DK, where he's $9,900, I have a lot more interest there. I don't know if it's going to be like a core type of play, just because the matchup is still tough. But I do have interest. And it's kind of hard not to.
And that's fine. You know, I'm okay with that. So to have some interest, I don't know that I can have a lot of it, but
yeah, I'm talking like 20%, 25%.
That's too high.
You think that's too high for a guy that can go 5,500 or 55, 60 points on DK for $9,900?
Oh, no, not on DK. No.
Yeah, on DK. I'm not talking FanDuel. Like FanDuel, he's almost like FanDuel, he might be 5%.
Right. That's more what I was thinking.
Like, but on DK, I could go up to 20, 25.
Yeah.
So, he's a, like Mikey said, he is a much, much, much better play on DK. So, and it's just the pricing discrepancies. Will Barton, obviously, I'm going right back to him. I don't care. $500 isn't expensive enough to scare me.
This is why I hate Draymond Green. Just pisses me off.
What'd he say? What'd he do?
He tweets, "I guess I should cry too. No Charlotte."
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I think that's a troll with a Western Conference foe. And we haven't got to that yet, but we will. But I see where he's going at it, but he also realizes and knows that he doesn't deserve it. But I see what he's doing. That's a Joel Embiid type of troll from Draymond.
That's what it is.
And love him or hate him, man, you got to respect the fact that he, as the kids say nowadays, he keeps it 100.
Okay, a couple things. First of all, it's not 100. It's the whitest shit I ever heard in my life. If you're gonna see, it is.
I'm from Oklahoma. I'm white. I'm Irish.
Then don't use the term. Okay, if you're gonna keep 100, not just say keep it a buck. Then just to make it easier. If you don't want to say 100, cool. Just say we keep it a buck. That's fine.
Oh man. Anyways, gosh, I don't. That was too funny. So yes, Will Barton.
It's 100. It's 100.
100. But I keep it at 100.
Just say keep it real. Just say keep it a buck.
This is Keith B. Real, keeping it real. You remember those skits?
I do.
Keith B. Real. I think that was on. Oh man, I'm about to show my age. I never thought I'd do this. That was on Will Smith's Big Willie Style album that he put out in like 1998 or 1999. That's Keith B. Real.
96, maybe?
No. It wasn't that early, was it?
Let me take a look.
Yes, we talk about pop culture. It was, yeah, you're right, 96, 97.
Yeah, there you
good
go.
Call. I had that album. I still have that album.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got all my CDs when I was a kid in CDs still. Now I haven't used them in pod forever. But yeah. I do have it. So okay, anyways, Will Barton. I'm going right back to him. I'm not shied off. Oh man.
Where are you on Barton?
That's what I just said. I'm going right back to him.
Right, but how much?
Okay, so I have 50 lineups on FanDuel tonight. Depending on how the news goes, right now I've got him in about 35%. But that's because as of right now, I've got Gary Harrison about 15% as well.
Fuck.
If Gary Harris is out, I'm jumping that up to about 50.
Chris Paul's playing. Our hopes and dreams are crushed.
I don't care. I'm still playing Harden.
So no, actually, here's the reality.
It's the reality is ownership.
Exactly. Now we get a 15-ish% Harden versus a 65% Harden.
Do you think he's going to go down that low on a 15-game slate?
I think he might. At that price, I think he might. You're going to get a ton of Jokic. You're going to get a ton of people wanting to play Kyrie.
Yeah, that's true. Russ is still going to carry a little bit of ownership.
Russ is going to carry ownership. If we do see Rubio not playing, everyone's going to want to play Mitchell. I mean, it's going to be way up there.
Okay. So we're saying about 30 minutes for Chris Paul. This actually helps me a little bit with my Harden scare about playing 40 minutes and legs getting tired, because now they can keep Paul on the court a little bit and give Harden a little bit more breathers. So now he plays like instead of 40, 42 minutes, he's going to play 37 to 39. So I know it's only a couple minutes, but in altitude, a couple minutes does help. Where are you on Gary Harris? Or not Gary Harris, sorry. Mario Hezonja.
I actually like it. Okay. I think he's explosive. I think he's been dying to get out there on the court. I think he's a much better player than he's been given credit for.
Yeah, this is a former top 10 pick, guys.
Yeah, he's a significant ball player. He's not a scrub. Make no mistake about it. He's not a scrub.
For his next contract.
Yeah.
He's playing for a team that's going to give him a shot. So whether that be with the Knicks or whoever, he's playing for, like, I don't want to say his NBA life, because I think he's going to have a couple more shots than Kadeem Allen. Kadeem Allen is playing for his NBA life. So yeah, I do like it. It It's I like him better than or a lot better than Alonzo Trier. Just be now if Luke Kornet comes back, are you still as excited? Does it make a difference? Okay.
No, not really. I mean, the reality of it is that, you know, Kornet coming back, first of all, we have to see if he is. But if he is, assuming he I think he's probable. So assuming that he is, we need to consider that it's his first game back. And first game back coming off injury, those guys don't play big minutes. So the minutes are still up for grabs. Plus they're down, you know, where they have like 8 healthy bodies or something left.
I think they're going to be at 9 tonight.
I mean, he's going to play.
If they call up one of their two-way guys.
He's going to play.
So, yeah. Kadeem Allen's already one of their two-way guys. They've got another one that they could call up. I just don't know where their G League team is. Kevin Knox. I mean, I'm – okay, so – here's like if I want to say go away from like a Hazonia and pay up to be contrarian, you've got one of three guys you can do. It's Kevin Knox, Taryn Prince, Nicholas Batum. I don't know where I want to go because they're all going to play 31, 32 minutes. They're all projected right about the same. Their matchups pretty much the same. I don't know. I don't know what to do there. So I might just plug in Hazonia and Will Barton and call it a day.
I mean, I think that's your best route. You know, I do have a little bit of Winslow interest. I do have a little bit of Jay Rich interest. Actually, not Jay Rich, Winslow. Kyle Anderson, I'm a little bit interested in. You know, Hazonia, Knox, you mentioned. Not so much Knox. Knox is in a pretty tough spot there.
Yeah, I don't think that there's going to be a core play from the small forward position today on FanDuel.
Probably not.
Unless we get the Gary Harris news before lock.
But I do also like...
say it.
Jay Crowder.
Thank you!
Because, I mean, the Hawks they're a pretty big team when you consider Deadman, Collins, Len, right? There are three bigs there. And then they kind of get smallish with like Spellman and whoever else. But I don't expect this game to be a blowout. I don't either. Yeah.
Now I do expect the Jazz to come out more focused than they did against the Blazers.
Yes.
But I don't expect it to be a blowout. So,
and the thing about the Hawks, for all their horrendous, embarrassing record, they play teams really well.
They play hard. They play teams well. The problem is that for DFS purposes, trying to figure out their fantasy implications is very, very difficult because it doesn't seem like any of them like really go off. It's more of a collective type of group. It's what the Boston Celtics were a couple years ago. Like none of them were going off, but they were all contributing. And like every once in a while, one of them would go off. Remember that?
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to power forwards. We got about 15 minutes left here. Kenneth Faried, the Manimal, going back into Denver. Do you think there's any ill will here? Any bad blood?
Really?
you know, now it's not against, it was Mike Malone. It was also mm-hmm. George Karl, mm-hmm. but, okay. So this is hilarious. On July 13th of last year, our luxury tax bill for the Thunder was $149.3 million. Today it's 66.1. Good job, Sam Presti. Now use all those trade exceptions. Okay. So anyways, back to Kenneth Faried. There's a little bit, just a wee bit of bad blood. Like, he may or may not want to actually, like, drop a bomb on the Pepsi Center and just, like, do the Terrell Owens thing in the middle of the Star and Cowboy Stadium and just be like, ah!
Yeah.
Like, he's an emotional dude, man, and he hustles, and I love him. And $7,900, like, we were talking with Luce in one of our private DMs. It was earlier this week, and we said that he's an 8K player, and he's now there, and this is the perfect matchup where he could end up going off. Still, again, like,
yeah.
He's $6,900 on DK, by the way.
So that's more stomachable. But there is definitely some significant bad blood there. And he's going to want to come out and he's going to want to play his nuts off. But the problem I have here is he's going to be facing Jokic, which is not going to be an easy task. So it's not one of those all-in situations, but I definitely do like it. Definitely do like it.
I'm not even going to give you the time of day, brother. Okay, so yeah, the matchup with Jokic is a little concerning, especially considering the foul trouble. I don't think he's a core on FanDuel, but he's definitely approaching the higher end of the exposure on DK.
He's expensive.
So, what about John Collins? He's $7,200 going up against Utah.
So I'm really glad he finally came down a little bit. That's the good part. The bad part is he's not in a very good matchup for bigs.
He's going to see a lot of Derek Favors, though.
Well, here's the thing. Yes and no, right? Like, Favors has been playing about 24 minutes a game. But they're going to need to play Favors a little bit more to defend John Collins, because Crowder is not going to be able to defend John Collins. So what you're going to see happen is you're going to see – so if Rubio ends up not playing, you're going to see Mitchell, and then you're going to see Ingles and Crowder and Favors and Gobert. That's what you're going to see.
Yeah. The issue I have, and I see where I think you're going with this, you think – that he's going to end up seeing some more time at the five because Deadman gets in foul trouble?
I don't know. That's not something that I can predict, really.
I don't know. It's just... Okay, so how much Gobert do you think he sees?
Deadman?
No.
Or Collins?
Collins.
I don't think he will.
So do you think that Favors and Crowder can actually kind of contain him a little bit? Or is it just because he's 7,200 that you're sitting there going, I don't know about the profit potential there?
Yeah, that's pretty much – I mean, yes, like I don't know. I got a feeling that so rotations-wise, when Deadman sits, it's Len that comes in. So – Collins doesn't play the five. He plays the four pretty much most of the time. So that's kind of what happens there. And in any of those scenarios, I don't see Gobert guarding him. He's going to be guarding Len. He's going to be guarding Deadman. That's who he needs to be on. So, yeah.
So it's more of a price thing with Collins?
It's more of a matchup thing with Collins, like I'm saying, because it's just not a really good matchup. Like he's been priced down finally, so I've been looking forward. He's been freaking 8,300 for the longest time. So I want to take advantage of it, but not this matchup just sucks. It just sucks.
Okay.
I prefer guards from them, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, Jason Tatum? Or are you going straight down to Paul Millsap?
I like them both. I mean, I've got a combination of them. I even got a decent amount of Jeremy Grant because I think he's going to be heavily relied on today, given that it's probably the softest matchup, mainly because Spoelstra doesn't play James Johnson as much as he should. So that would concern me defensively, but he plays like 18 minutes, so you won't see that much of Grant. But so that I'm looking at, I mean, there's all kinds of things I'm considering here at the power forward. There's a lot of options here that I'm okay with. I think if you want to play Paul Millsap, it's fine. I don't know that I would play him along with Jokic. You can. I don't know that I would. I think between Millsap and Jokic, Millsap has the worst matchup because if it's one thing that PJ Tucker does well is defend. So, I don't like to attack him with other small power forwards, particularly perimeter or ball handling forwards like Paul Millsap is. Whereas like a John Collins is the polar opposite. Like that I wouldn't mind attacking, no problem. So in between them, I kind of like Grant more from a matchup perspective.
Yeah, I do like Jeremy Grant. I'm a little worried that he's going to see a lot more of the James Johnson kind of bullying. But he's been shooting well. He still provides... One of the things I look at when looking at teams that are really good defensively efficient is tip balls because tip passes lead to steals and steals create fantasy points. Obviously, there's a correlation there. And Jeremy Grant's one of the league leaders at the power forward position in tip passes. I don't know with James Johnson being in how much opportunity he's going to get. I think if they run out Kelly Olynyk, he's going to have a lot more opportunity.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going. And I'm looking I'm looking here at the Miami situation as a whole, right? And the first thing that I noticed was a really shocking statement by Spoelstra. And that statement was, I don't know that I'm making the right decisions with our rotation.
Yeah, he said that like 5 minutes before lock two nights ago. And it like me and you looked at each other and were like, great.
And then... you guys are fucking insane. Where was I? So he said, and then all of a sudden, it was Kelly Olynyk who started coming back in. Like mm-hmm. he's played about 22-ish minutes the last couple games here. So, it's interesting to me to see, is that going to be a thing now? Cause I mean, it's Freebie Friday anyway, so I can say this, but I was going to make him my sneaky play today, Kelly Olynyk, because I think people don't realize that he's back in the rotation again. People don't see that, shit, he's actually playing now. And he gets a team, where am I? He gets a team that has really struggled lately defensively. And
especially from beyond the arc.
Right, and which is what he does, right? He shoots threes. That's his kind of his bread and butter there. So I'm taking a few Olynyk shots in tournaments tonight, and I think it's very much merited.
Yeah, I would. He's a guy that I didn't even think of. Not that mm-hmm. I didn't know that he wasn't back in the rotation, but like it didn't even register with me. And it had nothing to do with the fact that I just kind of overlooked it.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those one of those things. I don't really have a lot of like in-depth conversations at the our forward position tonight. I do, however, have a hot take at we need to move on to center because we have to talk about this guy. Okay. Center, Nikola Jokic, very good spot. Fantastic. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You know, he's going to be highly owned.
Yes.
Chalk
yes.
of the night.
Yes.
As far as probably your top tier priced guys, cash center, just go ahead, lock them in, go from there. Bear, there was a tweet about an hour ago from the Jazz beat writers. And let me pull this up just so we know. It was from David Locke and then Eric Woodyard expanded on it with the help of Eric Walden. I think that's all three of the Jazz beat writers.
And I shared a video of it too.
Yes. Incredible media session with Rudy Gobert. Deep, insightful, and intelligent. Got very emotional when he told us mom called him crying after snub and teared up himself. Eric Woodyard. Rudy Gobert breaks out in tears while discussing all-star snub. Wow. Eric Walden. Rudy grew increasingly emotional speaking about the media with his all-star snubs. Said his mom called him crying. Said he wrote and deleted several messages on social media, which is the smartest thing to do. Finally, he grew too emotional to speak and walked off wiping away tears. About 30 minutes later, Draymond Green comes out with a tweet that says, I guess I should cry too. North Charlotte, cry face emoji three times.
So people, when we get this recorded, people won't be able to see this. But this is for Draymond Green. Okay, we'll move on.
I didn't even see it, and it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, probably.
Rudy Gobert is... I don't want to say Stone Cold Lock, but he just made... like, and I don't like the Jazz. I'm a Thunder fan. I'd make no qualms about it. But going up against Atlanta, at the day after an all-star snub, and your mom calls you emotional, and it causes you to break out emotionally? Yeah. Given. That's, he's, yes, absolutely. Dude, 100%.
It's going to be hard to say no.
Yes, exactly. And he's only 8,500 on DK. Like,
and you can play him and Joker.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's going to be hard for me to say no, too. Like, and I'm doing the same on Yahoo. I'm playing them both, too.
Like, when you're talking about a guy getting emotional like this, it's, you know, and he has the ability to go out and prove somebody wrong. And he was rightfully snubbed. You know, sure. Rightfully. He should have been in over Karl Anthony Towns.
Definitely.
Tobias Harris should have been over Karl Anthony Towns. Steven Adams should have been in over Karl Anthony Towns. Now, that's not saying that Rudy won't get in because somebody's bound to get hurt or pull out or whatever. But as of right now, he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Use it.
Yeah.
Hassan Whiteside, no thanks.
Interesting.
I mean,
it's hard to play him. You don't know what you're going to get. And again, with Olynyk and Adebayo, it's impossible to know. I agree. It's just, it's unfortunate because I wish it was better, but it's not. What can you do?
It's extremely hard to play him. He's got all the upside in the world. I guess if you're making 50 lineups, if you want to actually, nope, I wouldn't touch him. He's had a 25, a 23, and a 36 against the Thunder the last 3 years.
Yeesh.
So, no thank you. Al Horford went absolutely, completely freaking bonkers the last two games.
He's been, man. He's been.
He is in play. He got jacked up in price, so be careful there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to have to watch Steven Adams. I don't. If Steven Adams is out, then yes, you can play Nerlens Noel again. It's simple. The problem is on FanDuel, now you're passing up Jokic and Rudy. And that's really hard. But I do have a little bit of tournament interest on Mason Plumlee on DK where I can play him at power forward. Mm. I can play him at power forward still, right? They didn't switch the move the chairs on. Yep, I can still play him at power forward. So
yeah. Okay.
Hey, you disagree?
No, I mean I'm okay with it. You're talking about Horford, right?
No, Plumlee.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I kind of have to disagree.
Okay.
Just because. I mean, if you're playing him on FanDuel as a drop score, you can, but that means you're giving up Jokic and Gobert.
Yeah, yeah. This was only on DK where I could play him as a power forward.
Right, but even then, you're looking at what the hell? You're looking at, like, unless something happens to Jokic and or Plumlee, or excuse me, Millsap. I mean, you're really going to get roughly 20 minutes, and that's at best.
That's what I've got him projected at. I've got some interest there. So I'm not talking like a lot, but I can play Plumlee, Jokic, Reed, and Gobert all in the same lineup.
Yeah.
So that's what the eligibility helps. So, all right, guys. There, this was a fun, energetic podcast today.
Yeah.
So, guys, it is Freebie Friday, so let's make sure that we have some fun today. We're going to have a good day. 5 games, lighter Friday schedule because we have a huge slate tomorrow, we will try to figure out what's going on tomorrow. So, no podcast tomorrow, but we will try to figure out something cool to bring you. Any final words?
No, not for me.
Awesome. For myself, for Bear, for the DFS Army. We gone.